It's Halloween weekend, and this Food Friday, we get ready for the spookiest night of the year with Halloween-themed food. Today, we'll get fun ideas for sweet or savory foods that you can serve at your dinner table or at a Halloween party.
Anna Monette Roberts joins us now to tell us more. She's the food editor of Pop Sugar, where she develops and photographs recipes. She's a graduate of the chef's training program at the Natural Gourmet Institute and has worked in restaurants, bakeries, and even had a stint as a chocolatier. Anna, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you.
Well, I always think of Halloween as the food, all those trick-or-treaters, their loot that comes home. But there's so much more to talk about in terms of Halloween-inspired recipes. What ways can we expand our idea of Halloween food?
Well, I think it's important to begin every party with something delicious to drink. And I recommend a butter beer that's inspired by Harry Potter. I developed this recipe because I've always dreamed of an actual butter beer made with butter and beer. And that's kind of how I think J.K. Rowling intended or invented this creation to be. And so basically, you can throw the ingredients into a slow cooker. It's just two ingredients, a butterscotch sauce and a pumpkin beer. And it just, the flavors meld together to create a really frothy and comforting, rich and thick beverage. And it's a perfect amount of sweet and caramelized flavor.
That's served hot if it's in a slow cooker. Yeah. And how do you top it off? Do you top it off with anything?
I personally don't because it creates a natural foam, but I guess, you know, there are other options. You could do whipped cream if you wanted to make it more decadent, but really it already has that froth on top.
So does it taste like a dessert?
I would say it's a sweeter beverage, of course, but it's not too intense. I would say it's a really great way to kick a party off, and of course, if you're serving something for the little ones at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, they do butter scotch soda. So you could always do that with whipped cream for the little ones to make them feel like they're part of the party.
Well, let's dive into some of the recipes which are posted on the Central Time Facebook page. Let's start with the curry pumpkin soup. What's the story behind that?
Well, I went to culinary school, and one thing that we learned was you always want to cook with fresh pumpkin in savory applications and canned pureed pumpkin in sweet applications. And the reason for that is texture. You'll notice with a pureed pumpkin in a can, it has a gummy, super smooth texture, which is great when you're making muffins or cake. But when it comes to soup, you really don't want that gumminess. You need a little fiber. So I developed this recipe to basically explain the easy process of roasting whole pumpkin and then making use of the seeds and roasting those as well as a topper to the soup.
So is it a lot of work to roast a whole pumpkin? I love pumpkin, but I always use, you know, the cans of pumpkin. I've never roasted my own pumpkin. How much goes into that?
It's really, well, it starts with a sharp knife and safely cutting the pumpkin in half. And then you just kind of butter it up or, you know, I guess put some oil on the top of it and roast it in a 350-degree oven until it's fork tender, which usually takes less than an hour because most people will be working with a pretty small size sugar pumpkin that they'll find at their grocery stores.
And people are often used to using pumpkin in pie, of course, and in sweet cooking. What are some things to keep in mind if you're just starting to use pumpkin in your sweet recipes?
Well, I recommend two recipes. The easiest recipe is a pumpkin pie truffle that I helped develop. And the method behind that is using ingredients you'll traditionally see in a pumpkin pie. So graham cracker, pumpkin puree, pumpkin spice, and cream cheese. And you blend those things together in a food processor and then form those into truffle-sized balls, and you can dip them into melted chocolate. So that's really easy, and you get all of that flavor that you would traditionally find without having to bake or really fuss over anything.
And it's a finger food.
It's a finger food, which is so perfect when you're serving that on a platter at a party.
It's and food. Then, go ahead.
Oh, and then, you know, if you're more ambitious and you'd like to try a cake, I also have developed a recipe for, I call it a naked cake. This is something you'll see on Pinterest a lot. And that's an icing technique where it really doesn't require any skill. You just smooth the frosting over the top of a cake. And I developed this recipe for beginner bakers who, you know, are fearful that their layer cake won't turn out or will be too crumbly. This one is just really a straightforward recipe.
And this is called a naked cake. I guess you're saying because it can be daunting to frost the sides of the cake, right?
Yes, so much can go wrong. Usually what happens is the cake crumbs kind of come up into the frosting and it kind of ruins the presentation and also the texture of the frosting. So this way it's just, it's a beautiful rustic presentation, but without any of the fear of, you know, messing it up.
We're talking with Anna Monette Roberts, who is food editor at Pop Sugar, where she develops and photographs recipes. Anna, it seems with all of these recipes that your crock pot is never far from you in these recipes. How important is having a crock pot?
Oh, huge, especially for our readers. And I think really for anyone, because we're all so busy. And what it's kind of funny, what made me start recipe developing for a crock pot is I'd come up and I'd go to the first floor of my apartment and, you know, someone would be cooking tacos and I could smell all those aromas. And then on the second floor, they'd be having steak and the third floor would be pizza. And I'd come home to my empty studio and be really depressed. And so this was a way to kind of combat that. I can throw all the ingredients in the morning and then come home to an aromatic warm apartment with something bubbling and ready to go, which is what we all really want and crave after a long, busy day. So I recently developed I'm calling it a French onion pot pie soup in my crock pot.
Sounds like a lot of tasty stuff going into that one. What is it?
Yes. So this is actually, I guess, based on a couple of things. We're seeing a lot of people love comfort foods combined together. And so I made a French onion soup in the crock pot, but I also included a chuck roast, which of course is a chuck steak is a very affordable cut of meat. And when it slow cooks, it's sort of the fat sort of melts. And if you give it enough time, usually 8 to 9 hours, that meat just falls like off. It just shreds. And so it just creates a really rich and comforting soup to come home, or stew, really. And I served it with some Gruyere pie crust crackers, because traditionally in French onion soup, you melt the cheese on top, but I really like dipping crackers into my soup.
We're talking to Anna Monette Roberts, recipe developer and food editor at Pop Sugar, and we're getting Halloween-inspired recipe ideas that include sweet and savory cooking.
And we'd love to hear from you on this. What do you like to cook in fall and around Halloween time? Do you put your own spin on fall classics, maybe some of these pumpkin recipes that we've been talking about today? You can call us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up the conversation with Anna Monette Roberts. She's a recipe developer and food editor at Pop Sugar. She's telling us how you can make Halloween-inspired meals.
And we'd love to hear from you. Are there certain sweet or savory meals that you like to make for Halloween, or maybe just late fall yummy stuff that's comforting? Tell us how you might work classic foods like that pumpkin we're talking about into your sweet cookie, or maybe you've got a savory way to cook pumpkin. Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And if you've got a question that Anna can answer about how to make your cooking a little more fun for Halloween, Anna is here for you. Our number 800 800- 642-1234. 1234.
And Anna, if you wouldn't mind, take us back to the pumpkins and take us through a meal from start to finish and see, you know, could we weave pumpkins perhaps into every part of that meal or in any hidden part?
You mean for your Halloween party?
Yeah, for our
so
Halloween.
So beginning with the drink?
Uh-huh, yep.
Yes, well, of course, you know, the butter beer recipe I have has pumpkin ale, but another drink I love to make is a bourbon beverage, and you add just a little bit of, I have a pumpkin simple syrup recipe on pop sugar, and you just add a little bit of that and top it with ginger beer, and that's just such an easy and elegant presentation for pumpkin. And for an appetizer, I would say to make crostini. So you can take a baguette or, you know, a cracker and spread some goat cheese on that and top it with a little bit of roasted pumpkin. I go through the explanation of how to roast a fresh pumpkin in that soup recipe I shared. But just top it with that and maybe a little bit of chopped sage and freshly ground pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a main, I would definitely recommend doing a soup or I have a recipe that I really love. Actually, it's not mine. It's a Thug Kitchen recipe for a lasagna that incorporates pumpkin puree. So I think what you could even do like a traditional Italian lasagna, but you could fold in some pumpkin puree into the tomato sauce. That's an easy way and easy, you know, to make ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then dessert, of course, I mean, you name it, you can do cakes, cookies. I have a chocolate chip cookie that I also love that has pumpkin puree. And one thing to note with any time you are cooking with or baking with pumpkin puree, the result will end up a bit cakey. So when it comes to cookies, that's worth noting because they do end up a little bit cakier rather than chewy or super or crunchy.
We've been focusing a lot on pumpkin, which is delicious. At farmers markets in Wisconsin, I know right now what's there is a lot of winter squash. You've got your acorn squash and your butternut squash. Do you think you could sub in some different kinds of squash for the pumpkin?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd say one of my favorite squashes, which is beginning to gain a lot of popularity, is spaghetti squash. And that's so fun, especially if you have kids. That is the most fun project to get kids involved in. Because once you roast the spaghetti squash, you use a fork to kind of pull up the strands and they appear just like spaghetti. And you can add a meat sauce to that or you can just dress it simply with olive oil and Parmesan cheese. The sky is really the limit, but that's just a really fun and kind of spooky and creative way to get to make use of all those wonderful gourds available to you.
The spaghetti squash really intrigues me. I want to try it, but I haven't yet because I guess I'm afraid that it's not going to taste very good, that it's going to taste like stringy undercooked squash. Is it good? Can you sell me on that?
I love it. Of course, it's not the exact texture of a wheat spaghetti, but it is, you know, when it's cooked thoroughly and when it's seasoned with enough salt, I'm a big fan of adding, you know, plenty of oil and salt when you're roasting it. That way the salt can kind of get in between those strands. It really does have a great kind of crunchy, not crunchy, but like it has a tooth to it. So when you chew it, like there's some texture and I think it's one of the most delicious gourds out there for sure.
We're talking with Anna Munnett Roberts, who is a food editor at Pop Sugar, where she develops and photographs recipes. Anna, I picked up pumpkin bread this morning at the grocery store, trying to get in the mood for this segment. I probably should have baked pumpkin bread myself. I imagine, you know, it's not too complicated. Ari, do you have some suggestion for seasoning in pumpkin bread and muffins? Any tips?
Oh, definitely. So I learned this from my grandmother. My grandmother is in her late 80s, and I just went and visited her in Mississippi. And she always gets so many of those quick breads for during the holiday season. And so I would recommend slicing them, whatever you're eating that day, and putting some salted butter on top and toasting it in a very high oven, like 425 degrees, until that butter melts and the edges crisp up and become caramelized. That's my absolute favorite way to simply dress up really anything, pumpkin bread or pumpkin muffins. And of course, you know, I'm going to stick with that one because that's really, you can't beat that.
Melt in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's take a caller now. We've got Russ joining us in Monroe. Russ, hi.
Hi. How you doing? Great.
Good.
In the fall, man, we love to grill and smoke meats, especially we do ribs. And we came up with this sauce or glaze that's got pumpkin and molasses and bourbon, cinnamon. It's got a little clove, but it's got that fall kind of feel. And we smoke it usually with a little hickory, but that's seems like fall and Halloween to me to be tearing meat off the bone. But I'd be interested if she had any other barbecue-related or sauces that seem this fit to this time of year.
No, oh, that's a fun question, Russ, and that sounds really yummy. Bourbon pumpkin barbecue. So what about that, Anna? Does that ring any bells?
What I think about, I love brining. I love brining meat and beer, especially chicken. So what comes to mind is taking the time, at least 4 hours, to brine a chicken in a bag. You can do pumpkin ale with it, and you can add a pinch of some seasoning, some what's traditionally found in a pumpkin pie, so those warming spices. But I would, I mean, I'm all about simplicity, so I would, that's probably the one thing that comes to mind for
all right, Russ, thanks for that.
And kids are the life of the party at Halloween. You know, they love Halloween. Are there kid-friendly, spooky recipes that you could recommend that would get the kids involved in the cooking?
I honestly don't remember eating pumpkin as a kid, unless it was in a pumpkin bread or a treat. I really recommend those pumpkin pie truffles for kids because the kid, of course, can press the button on that food processor and feel like they're being part of the baking process. And then they can use their hands to roll those truffles up into balls. So I think that's really the most kid-friendly recipe that I've developed.
So we have not carved our pumpkins yet. We're kind of behind this year. And one of the things I totally look forward to is the pumpkin seeds. But we always just toss them in olive oil or whatever oil, salt them, bake them. And they're really fibrous. Usually I'm the only one who eats them, but I think they're really good. Do you have any other suggestions for using those pumpkin seeds?
Yes. In fact, you know, you're right. They are fibrous. And I think that is important to note that there's two types of pumpkin seeds, those that you find directly out of your pumpkin and also store-bought pepitas, which you can usually find in the bulk section of your grocery store. And I actually think those are way more tastier, the pepitas, because they're hulled, meaning that that fibrous exterior is removed. But they're my three favorite ways to season pumpkin seeds. One would be just traditional salt and either butter or an oil like olive oil. And then one thing I learned, I think it was from my mom's friend. She loves soy sauce, and you can actually roast the pepitas or pumpkin. Well, I would actually recommend the pepitas. Roast them over the stovetop until they toast. And then at the last minute, you can add in your soy sauce or tamari, and it has the best, most savory flavor. Hmm. That's my absolute favorite way to make pumpkin seeds. And then the last way is a sweet application. And you basically melt butter and toss those pumpkin seeds in butter and a little bit of demerara, I always mispronounce it, but the demerara or raw sugar, as well as that pumpkin pie spice. So, and then bake or roast those until they're golden brown. And the one important thing to note is once those seeds are fragrant and you can really smell them out of the oven, remove them and then transfer them into a separate bowl because there's something called carryover cooking, and you don't want to burn those seeds. I know everyone has done it once in their life, and it smells terrible, and the flavor is awful. So remember to transfer those seeds after you've roasted them.
And if you need a shortcut to squash and pumpkins, how does the microwave factor in? How do these do in the microwave? Or do you really need to do the baking?
We do have a recipe for microwaving squash. So what you want to do is start by cutting the squash in half, and in a microwave-proof dish, you like a Pyrex, put that squash face down and add a little bit of water and microwave it. I couldn't tell you how many minutes. Every microwave is different, but check on it in intervals. And you want that squash to be fork tender. And if you notice the water has evaporated off of the bottom of the pan, you want to make sure to fill up a little more water, at least an inch. And I think that's probably the simplest way to microwave a squash.
Well, lots of yummy ideas. Anna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Anna Monette Roberts. She's the food editor of Pop Sugar, where she develops and she photographs recipes. And you can find a lot of those recipes that we talked about today, the naked pumpkin cake, the stoops in the crock pot. Stoops? Did I say stoops? Stew and soup. I think that works. That's on the Central Time Facebook page. You can find those there. We talked about making Halloween-inspired foods. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.